Jamie and Locker with you. This is a Tuesday edition of the Green Zone. Still to come, Bruce Arthur is going to join us from the Toronto Star to discuss the impact Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is having on the sport of basketball. And he might challenge me on my assertion that SGA should be Canada's Athlete of the Year without finishing the year, that we should North just Star give him Award. The Northern Star Award today.
I'm looking forward to our conversation with Bruce.
I always look forward to conversations with Bruce.
Excellent Arthur. Writer with the Toronto Star.
But I also look forward to conversations with our Britton Gray.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
Britton Gray is here with his Daily Blitz, the news and notes from the Rough Riders day one of practice. And
nothing important.
Yeah. QB1, no Trevor Harris. He was out there, but he wasn't practicing. What's going on with Trevor Harris?
Well, we knew he was feeling under the weather. On the post-game show, the audio came in. He said he wasn't feeling well, so still dealing with that illness. Corey Mace called it an infection, so he's still dealing with that. But then he took a hit. He took a hit to the – it looked like it was a high hit. Looks like – I was wondering, so I asked Corey Mace, is that concussion protocol? Because sometimes you feel a little woozy, you're not feeling well. Sometimes you might not think it's a concussion at the time. He wouldn't – say no, but he didn't want to say it was concussion protocol. It was kind of a, you have to read between the lines a little bit on that one.
In the NHL, they have people sitting in the stands and they'll yank you. How does it work in the CFL?
You got concussion spotters as well. AJ Ouellette got up, was a little wobbly after he took that hit week one. They pulled him out, didn't pass it. So I don't know what the exact criteria is. Maybe I don't know if it's concussion. I'm not saying it is.
Mm-hmm.
I just asked because I know he got hit, and you never know when a guy misses it, if it's a head injury. And on the Saskatchewan Roughriders official injury report, they do have it listed as an illness and a head injury. So we'll see what happens here.
Let's just play the Corey Mace clip, all right? Let's just play what Corey Mace said to Britton Gray's question about whether or not this has anything to do with a concussion.
Dealing with a little bit of an infection, kind of played through that, and then also, he took a pretty good shot in the game. So we're just honestly just playing it kind of smart and kind of just look at that. But he's fine. You know, he's one of those kind of, you know, pushing me to do it. I say, just relax. It's just, you know, yeah. No, he'll be fine.
So he brought up the head injury, and that's what led Britton to ask.
And it was a hit underneath the chin. But so we are being smart about that. But, you know, it's also, too, like I said, he was dealing with some other stuff going on, too. So just more, we're taking a look at everything. But, you know, I don't want to strictly jump in there and say it's true concussion protocol. But we're just being smart. But we are looking at everything, though, no doubt.
So what's the follow-through for a team? Let's say we'll go back to the AJ Ouellette hit in the first game at home. So he gets pulled early in the game. Then is there, like, does he have to check in with the league? Like, how does that work?
There's what certain protocols. Like, if you get thrown into concussion protocol, you have to pass your baseline tests. It's on a tablet. You do it before, everybody does it before the season. That's what creates the baseline. So you go through the baseline tests, and then it's pretty well, you have to, it's got to be the honor system, right? You have to check in. How did you wake up this morning? Any headaches? Any dizziness? All that stuff. No. Okay, get
but
on a bike.
Who's checking that?
That's the athletic therapists and the team doctors.
The team doctors, okay.
So get on a bike, do some light exercise, go through that. How'd you wake up? Everything good? Okay, ramp it up. So to clear concussion protocol, if you don't have symptoms for 3-4 days, You're
good.
You're good to go with no symptoms. But once you say, like, oof, I had a pounding headache this morning, you pretty much start all over again from point one.
Yeah. Now, look, once again, I'm not saying he is in concussion protocol. I don't know what the head injury is.
And they're not required to tell us, are they? The team?
They disclose it on the injury report that says head, and it does say head for Trevor Harris as an injury.
So I would lean that way. Once again, didn't get it confirmed, but because he wouldn't say it was true concussion protocol, which whatever that means.
Well, and we've seen teams, Nathan Rourke, might happen with Davis Alexander. Who knows if Trevor, do you think Trevor Harris will play? Was there a hint?
Not today. Week one, long week. It was Jake Mayer out there the entire time throwing. So
how did he look? We got a need to know. Jake the Snake, how are things going with Jake Mayer?
He hit Deshaun Mims for a pretty good pass today, actually, with Keyshawn Johnson out there. Deshaun Mims got to run a little bit more with the ones. Really like that one. We'll see. With Jake Mayer, once again, he looks good in practice, looks good in training camp. It's in the games. He makes those throws that you're kind of like, oh, I don't know about that decision, or he has those untimely interceptions. So with him, I need to see it in a game, but we'll see how this week progresses. Still a long way to go before that game against BC.
I think we should have a rule about you giving out nicknames, Jamie.
What?
Well,
You don't like Jake the Snake? That's a typical Jake nickname. That's it.
Tommy doesn't like his tugboat nickname that you gave him.
I've heard you guys both should stop giving out nicknames. Locker Tsunami. Also needs to stop.
Tommy Tsunami? What's wrong with that?
So you asked Tommy Stevens about Tommy Tugboat. Not a fan. He doesn't like
he
that one.
He thinks there's cooler vehicles you could.
What about Tommy Torpedo? Do you think he'd like that one?
Maybe he said Thomas the Tank. Or Tom the Tank. Not Thomas. Tom the Tank. Touchdown Tommy. He just said there's cooler vehicles out there than a tugboat.
I like Tsunami. Bounce that one off of him, okay, Britton?
Hey, this is important. You got to give a guy
Jake the Snake's too easy.
I know it is. That's a gimme puck Jake nickname.
Yeah. Anyway.
But you did say Keyshawn Johnson didn't practice. No Sam Amelis. Mm-hmm. No Kean Schaefer Baker. What's going on? Is the receiving core, did they get the injury flu from the offensive line? What are we doing here?
No. Keyshawn Johnson was a personal reason. That's why he wasn't out there today. So I don't know how long the personal reason will be. We've seen guys show up the next day. We've seen guys miss the entire week due to personal reasons. It's what Corey Mace allows players to handle their business, whatever it may be. He allows them the time to do it. So we'll see. Outside of that, yeah, I mean, Sam Emelis, it's going to hurt once again him being out another week. But that foot injury is healing. And this team is 3-0. You can afford to maybe just, okay, let's rest another week. We're not chasing anyone in the standings.
Well, they got a bye too, right? Mm-hmm. So then you'll get more guys back. The kicking game has been under scrutiny and a lot of conversation about the hold, right? Are they changing that up in practice, Britton?
Nope. According to special teams coordinator Kent Maggiore, the holds are fine. Nothing with the holds. It's like a golf swing. They're trying something with Brett, trying to change something. Is it working? Is it not? Do you get used to it? Do you go back to it? He just said it's like a golf swing. He will be fine, is what they said about Brett Lauther. Brett's going to be fine, everyone.
Are they touchy about those conversations?
Not touchy, but of course, most athletes won't throw anyone else under the bus, right? They'll always take the blame or not say it's this. It's just a little technical thing. So it's tough to say, but no one has said it's the hold or that there's issues with the hold. It's just something Brett is kind of just working through it as a golf swing. You just switch one little thing. All of a sudden you're slicing it far right, which I do very well. So just fixing that.
All right, Britton Gray. The number one topic of all the Canadian Football League this week is CFL on TSN sideline reporter on Friday Night Football, Luke Wilson. Your thoughts on his assessment of the Friday Argos Riders game is hot garbage.
I didn't like the terms he's throwing around. They're very confrontational, and I think there's a reason they're confrontational. He's kind of looking for that pushback, but it was over 300 yards in penalties. That is sloppy, but we've talked about it before. The mini camps in the spring, mm-hmm. It's a short preseason. Trevor Harris pretty much didn't have a preseason. He played a half of football, if I recall, the first preseason game. Didn't play for a while. I don't like the term junk football. It was still an exciting play. Mario Alford, that'll be a top 10 play of the year because of what it meant to a game and how exciting it was. It's worth at least a conversation. That conversation might be, no, you're completely wrong. Why are you bringing this up? But he's pointing things out, I guess.
I agree with it. And he did have another response to somebody today talking about it's about the players. It's about the prep. They want to work longer. They want more time in the room. It's about investing in that and football ops, and they capped it and they got rid of this workout.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
where I agree with Luke Wilson 100% that there needs to be.
That's kind of on the league's shoulders, right? I mean, they're, well, and the CBA, they're the ones that are making these decisions and holding it over the team's heads, right? So, yeah.
Okay.
I like some of the responses, you know, like Luke, welcome to the CFL. Settle in, get used to it.
Well, that was Bo Levi Mitchell today.
It did seem a
little.
Who said
exactly that.
It did seem a little like, all right, this game, what's wrong with this game? And you guys got a bunch of problems, and then walked away. And then people go after him, and then he goes, yeah, but they're not doing it. The approach was weird, like you said.
I mean, don't tell me short yardage isn't exciting when you've been watching the Saskatchewan Roughriders over the past few years. It's been an adventure whenever the short yardage team has been out there. And now you have Tommy Stevens, who's averaging 10 yards per carry, as he did in that game against the Argos.
Yeah, yard off the ball with 1 yard left. You're going to see a QB sneak, Luke. Get used to it. That is Britton Gray with his Daily Blitz. Of course, you'll have more CJME.com, CKOM.com. You can also find out more on the Riders' finances. I know it is the AGM tonight. They have teased out on their website, Britton, that they at least made a little bit of money in 2025.
Yeah, just with their snapshot they put out about just the highlights of what they're going to explain tonight at the AGM. $2.1 million profit. That's good news after losing money last season. And the alternate jersey, that obsidian green jersey, helped lead to a rise in merchandise. So, I mean, I still think you should bring back the all black, but hey, okay, what do I know? Apparently a lot of people went out and bought that jersey.
Yeah. Because it was something different.
It's a good jersey.
It wasn't just black, which everybody's got one of those. Does anybody have an obsidian green? Nope, just the Riders.
That is Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray. Of course, so more on the AGM a little later tonight. You can find it at CJME.com and CKOM.com. Still to come, Bruce Arthur on the rise of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as a Canadian NBA superstar. Plus, with Luke Wilson firing up, telling us what's wrong with the Canadian game, we want you to tell us what's right with the CFL. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Hope you're having a great Tuesday afternoon. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. What is it? One more? Some kids are already done, high school students, but for my kids,
so
it's tomorrow.
Disconnected
tomorrow
from that?
Last day of school tomorrow.
What do you do with the kids? You just like put food out on the counter and head out?
Yeah, a couple of bowls on the back door, back stoop. Come home when the street lights turn on.
That's how we did it.
That was my curfew growing up.
There's ham in the fridge.
There was legitimately, that was my curfew growing up. Was when the street light comes on.
I came in when I was hungry. I was 13. We lived outside. Did you ever watch Stranger Things?
No.
That was our childhood. Go watch that show. Just even watch a couple of the first episodes. I was like, I was showing my kids that. I was like, this is how we lived. There's no parent interaction in our lives.
I'm trying to remember what age I was when that stopped, even where it was even late. Didn't matter when, because I remember the streetlight thing was probably like 9, 10 years old.
Streetlights come on. Hitchhike into town.
I lived in town, like Lumsden, so
didn't have to hitchhike outside of town. I hitchhiked everywhere.
So kids will be excited tomorrow, final day of school, and then summer begins. How long until your kids start saying they're bored this summer, by the way? What's the over-under? 2 weeks? You got 2 weeks until they start going, I'm bored.
I would just make them do stuff around the yard.
Right when they said they're bored. Yeah. Well, there's a lawnmower over there.
Here's a rake.
And then they get not bored real
quick.
They
get not bored really quick. Yeah.
Go dig a hole. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Changes for the Regina Pats. Alan Miller is out as general manager. He's taking the big job with Hockey Canada in their new director of the high performance. He'll be joining us to talk more about that position a little later on this afternoon. World Juniors, under 18, under 17, a little work with the senior teams as well. Congratulations to Al, but that means there's a new general manager, and he just so happens to be the leading scorer in Regina Pats history. Dale Durkach takes over as GM of a very, very exciting young Pats team after their draft last month. Meanwhile, Trevor Harris did not practice. Illness slash head injury kept him out of practice. We'll see if he'll be good to go tomorrow ahead of Saturday's game against the BC Lions. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, it was parade day for the Oklahoma City Thunder. A lot less trash talk from their leader, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But he has sure lit up the NBA, and today was wearing the Canadian flag to pay homage to his home country. Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star will put into perspective how big of a season this is for Canadian basketball and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We want your text today, by the way, with the Luke Wilson debate, some of which we agreed with, some we didn't agree with. But there's a lot of talk about what's wrong, what's bad, what's hot garbage, what's junk ball when it comes to the Canadian Football League. We want your texts.
We're flipping it.
What is good about the CFL? The drive to bring young people in. What would you tell them that is exciting, entertaining, good, why they should watch the CFL? Not why it's better than the NFL. That's the thing. Luke Wilson has never brought the NFL into this debate. Everybody drags it there because he played in the NFL, but he is Canadian. He's never once said the NFL does it better than the CFL. He's just
highlighting all the things that the CFL does different than the NFL.
He doesn't bring up the NFL at all. He doesn't compare it to the NFL.
He doesn't need to. No, it's obvious.
No, it's not. He's not doing that. And he said, he's been up front, this is not a CFL versus NFL thing. Okay. These are the things he sees in the CFL game that he thinks could be tweaked, and it's not to do it the same way the NFL does it. So, again, let's not drag it into the CFL versus NFL.
All right. That's fair. That's what he's doing.
1-877-332-8255. Send us a text at 405. We're going to have the debate. We're going to highlight the positive. What's the good about the CFL? But there's something very good going on when it comes to a Canadian athlete. His name's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
SGA tries to answer. And does. Three-pointer, SGA puts it in. SGA splits the defense, kicks it out. Williams, a three-pointer. Bang!
29 points, 12 rebounds in Game 7 in an NBA championship. And today the parade, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander draped in a Canadian flag. He's all day long, from the time he first got on camera, through the parade, through the speeches, he's been wearing the Canadian flag the entire time. He's from the Hamilton area. And Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star is on to talk about the impact of SGA's unbelievable season. NBA MVP, scoring record. You also have NBA Finals MVP, a championship. There's only been three others to do it. Michael Jordan, Shaq are two of those. So, Bruce, when he gets off the plane in a day or so, when he returns to Canada, should we just give him the Northern Star Award for Canada's top athlete for 2025?
Now, I do have one proviso in that. I do agree he's probably going to win. He did win before. He has won it. But I just came off also writing a big, like a week of Summer McIntosh. She is on pace right now. It's on the table. She could become the greatest swimmer in history. I'm talking better than Phelps. So it is still an open question. Watch, she's going to go win potentially 5 gold medals at the World Swimming Championships and will at least make it a conversation. But right now, Shay's the leader in the clubhouse.
Like, something's going on here. What is it? I mean, we've got, you know, NBA, we got NHL, we got MLB, we got Canadian All-Stars in these finals. You got summer. This has been an interesting last couple of years for Canadian athletes.
They're all different genuses, right? Like, a lot of the basketball culture, you go back to Steve Nash, then you have the Toronto Raptors and the Toronto Grizzlies. You have the Caribbean influence, especially on the GTA. The GTA produces more NBA players every year than New York City does, and that's for several years. And then you in swimming, we've had a bunch of swimmers, like our swimming programs used to win two in the Olympics. All of a sudden, we're winning five, six, seven. Summer alone is going to account for five medals every Olympics that she's healthy. I think for at least the next two would be my guess, and maybe more if you can get some relays together. She is like, she's one of one, honestly. Like, I spent a week covering her at the Canadian trials in Victoria. We could talk about that all day. She is potentially the greatest Canadian athlete we've ever seen. Like, it's honestly, if you look at the where she could go, it is like that. And with Shea is the natural evolution of Canadian basketball. Like Steve Nash, Steve told me late in his career, he wished he could have seen Steph Curry play, because then he would have understood what was possible. The thing with Shea is Shea saw Kobe Bryant play, and Kobe Bryant saw Michael Jordan play. And as a result, he's closer to those two than probably anyone who has come before him. That's a very difficult archetype to master. Many have tried. But if you look at I took a deep dive into his numbers on Saturday for this playoff year. His playoff year this year is a Jordan-esque year. It really is. It's somewhere between Jordan and Kobe. And he is, I've been really cautious about putting Shea ahead of Steve Nash as the greatest Canadian basketball player of all time. Steve's got two MVPs, finished second another time. But this is the greatest season anyone's ever had in Canadian basketball. And no question, hands down, there's nothing like it. What Shea did this year was historically rare and truly, like, almost unbelievable for a Canadian kid, even in the context of our current basketball landscape.
Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star on the rise of Shea Gilgeous-Alexander to do something only three others have done. And when Michael's done it four times and Shaq's on that list, and now you have Shea, which is lead in scoring, NBA MVP, Finals MVP, and a championship. But it's interesting. When you talk about Jordan, you talk about Bryant, they had very visual fire in their game. Like, I took that personally, is now a famous meme with Michael Jordan. Well, what is it about Shea that makes him so special? With a, there is a fire, but it doesn't, it's not as visibly burning as some of the others we've mentioned.
Kobe was interesting because he really did try to be like Jordan, and he had the same, what I call somewhat affectionately, a psychopathic competitive gene, right? Like Michael Jordan, go read Michael Jordan, the story on Michael Jordan by Wright Thompson at when Michael turns 50. And he basically says to Wright Thompson, and I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, he goes, you ask for these gifts so you can achieve these things. And then when it's over, you almost wish you could give them back. And he said, like, maybe then I could breathe. Like, Jordan's competitiveness was suffusing. It was all-encompassing. Kobe was the same. Kobe dies young. But as a competitor, one of the reasons he's so iconic, you talk to young NBA players now, you talk to NBA players over the last 15 years, Kobe was more feared than LeBron at their respective peaks because of his mentality, because of the way he approached the game. Shea isn't like that. Shea makes it almost look too easy. Like, when Shea can score 30, he's got 30 in his back pocket almost every night, and it's not, he's not doing it personally. You don't have to take it personally. The way I describe it, he's just like water. It just keeps coming, right? And it finds the cracks and it finds the holes. And you can't plug all of them. Like, he's so good at all three levels of the game. The 3-point shot is really the part of his game. It's the only part of his game that you can't really, he doesn't have at a really high level yet. He only shot about 30% for the playoffs, a little below for these playoffs. But he's as efficient a scorer as we've almost ever seen. He scored the fourth most points per 100 possessions this year that anyone ever has, and did it more efficiently than any guard. He had the most efficient big scoring guard season that's ever happened outside of Steph Curry and one Damian Lillard year, because those guys could shoot threes at such a high level. But other than that, like, he it's not that he's perfected the game, but you could see in two or three years, if he can get his 3-point shot to the level of the rest of his game and he can do it at volume, we might not even be seeing like prime Shea Gilgeous-Alexander right now. His athleticism, his work ethic, his discipline. I talked to his trainer yesterday. He said Shea's flying back to Hamilton tomorrow after the parade, and he's going to get back to work. Like, this guy is obsessed, and that's what he really shares with Jordan and with Kobe.
Bruce, we had a conversation in the Green Zone Lounge earlier, Jamie and I, and we were talking about what this win
for OKC means for basketball in Canada. Because it's easy to go back and look at the impact that Vince had, you know, on the Raptors and their win, and everybody can sort of trace this line back to, oh, that's where basketball became huge, or, you know, I got into basketball, or I bought my Raptors hat because, you know, of this player. And we all know that SGA is Canadian, and we all know how great he is, but we report on this sport. How much impact has this win and this player had in Canada? Or is that an, or is that even, is that impossible to sort of predict right now?
Where we'll really see it is in 5 years, in 10 years, okay. Right? That's kind of how you saw the Vince Carter effect. That's how you saw the Steve Nash effect. Because what it is, really, I remember someone telling me about Raptors games, because the Raptors were the first to have the crowds outside the stadium, right? With Jurassic Park before it was Maple Leaf Square. And what they started to see is Raptors fans who had been Raptors fans when they were kids, early in the days of the franchise, who were bringing their kids to stand outside the building, right, during playoff games. That's when you start to see generational effects. And so what you get with Shea now, he's now been exposed to a wider audience than ever before. Than any Canadian basketball player, more or less, ever has before. Because remember, he also was front and center at the Olympics. And so he's not as universally appealing as Michael yet. His play style is still, it's a little more understated. There's still some complaints about how he draws fouls. I don't think it's that big a deal. But we've now seen him, he's wearing, at the Oklahoma City parade today, he's wearing a Canadian flag around his waist. Right. Mm. This is a really proud Canadian who is now acclaimed to have had one of the greatest seasons of all time. And so you're going to get all the kids on the playgrounds. And if you go to in parts of Toronto, I remember someone telling me they played with a bunch of Somali Canadians, and all those Somali Canadians, they were proud to play like Steph Curry, drive and kick, three threes. Every kid's trying to do that. I think there's going to be generations of kids now who are going to look at how Shea plays and try to be like him. And it's going to be hard because he has such a unique blend of athleticism. Mom was an Olympic sprinter. Dad was a city basketball champion at George Vanier in Toronto. It's going to be hard to do that. But people, what happened with Steve Nash, and I'm the same age as Steve. I played high school basketball in BC the same year Steve won the provincial title. He showed a path. All the guys since have shown paths. Shea's now showing a path to the very highest level of the sport. And that is incredibly valuable. When you, this talk of inspiring kids can sometimes be hackneyed, sometimes it's just marketing, but it's a real thing. And I think we will see an SGA effect probably over the next decade.
He's 27. How bright is his star still going to shine after this remarkable year going forward?
I think he's still 26, isn't he? I'd have to go check on this. But the thing with this Oklahoma City team, we're at a stage in the NBA where the salary cap tears teams apart. There's been no team that's been built better than Oklahoma City. They are set up for success for years. We could be seeing a half-decade run in a league where your window realistically is now 2 to 3 years for a lot of contending cores. Oklahoma City's different. So we could be seeing an OKC team that kind of defies the natural team curve in the league now. Shea could win 2, 3, 4. It'll be hard. Look at this team, though. Chet Holmgren's nowhere near his peak, I don't think. Jalen Williams is only in his third year. He looked scared at times in Game 7. He's going to get better. Shea can still get better. They have a first-round pick from last year, a lottery pick from last year, who sat out the year. He's coming back in this year. They have the 15 pick this year and the 24 pick this year. They have the Clippers pick next year. They have more picks than anyone in the league. Mm. There's no team that's been set up like this. OKC has a chance in a very parity-driven league to be a dynasty. It's on the table.
That is Bruce Arthur, Toronto star, here on the Green Zone on the rise and the stardom of Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. And in Bruce's piece on the Toronto Star, we're going to have more with Bruce a little later on to chat about this. The Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, real serious, I wasn't joking. He is flying back to Canada within the next day or so, and he will spend his summer in Hamilton. He doesn't have, he could have a mansion in South Beach or LA or anywhere. He goes home and works in Hamilton.
I'm a fan of the Canadian pride too. Like, he's okay.
I think that's cool. Like, yeah, that's cool.
I like that. I like that a lot.
That
he's going
is
back
where
to
he's,
the, like, Hamilton.
He has his trainer there and all this. He's like, yeah, kids around the cul-de-sac. We'll see Shea Gilgeous-Alexander this summer,
yeah,
doing his workouts to get ready for another NBA
Very
season.
Very cool. Very cool. I didn't know that about Shea.
Coming up here on the Green Zone, it was Hall of Fame Day for the Hockey Hall of Fame. Who's in? Who's still waiting for the call? Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Hockey Hall of Fame Day locker. They announced the new inductees into the Hockey Hall of Fame for 2025. Our NHL analyst, Drew Romano, when he joins us, will be very excited. Joe Thornton got the call
Big
today.
Joe.
And I believe Lanny McDonald made the phone call.
Hey, Joe, it's Lanny and Ronnie Francis here. I'm going to let Ron give you the so-so news. How's that?
Okay.
We're trying to figure out what you're doing in November, but I'll let...
If anything involves hanging with you, Lanny, I'm in, and Ron.
Well, here's Ron.
Hey, Joe, I just wanted to let you know that we're really excited to welcome you into the Hockey Hall of Fame. You were voted...
Holy s***, Ron. Holy doodle. Holy doodle.
It's always great to have another Greyhound in there.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I'm shaking. Thanks, boy. Holy moly.
Yeah, there's the call. Joe Thornton, Duncan Keith, Zdeno Chara, Alexander McGillney finally gets the call. Jennifer Botterill, Brianna Decker go in the players category.
Okay, out of that call, you got Ron Francis, you got Lanny McDonald, you got Joe Thornton. Who are you drinking with? You only get picked one.
Lanny.
I was going to pick Lanny, too. I've heard stories. He's apparently Joe, no slouch, but I hear Lanny is just still to this day.
Man. Joe, Drew would talk me out of it though. Drew's like, no. You want to go drink with Jumbo? There were two builders who also are going into the Hall of Fame: Jack Parker, legendary coach of Boston University, and the first woman to be in the builders category, Danielle Sauvageau. She was the coach of the 2002 nice. Canada Olympic gold medal team. Also, Trevor Harris not practicing today for the Rough Riders. Head illness is what's listed on the injury report.
Like illness and head.
Illness it, yeah. slash
not head, head illness.
Yeah, not head illness. The damn man cold. No. So we'll see tomorrow if he is back to practice or not. Coming up next. Okay, enough what's bad with the CFL. What's good about the CFL?
We're being positive today.
980 CJME and 650 CKOM.